Hello, Asbury community, and welcome to the Embrace Radio Hour. Today is April the 23rd, 2020. I'm Maria Brown, and I'm here with Reverend Esther Jodhoff in the Office of Intercultural Affairs, and we're excited to open up another show for you today. Hello, Esther.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, Esther, but I think this is just, I said this the last time we recorded, it's just hard to not be all together to have these conversations, right? This is just not quite enough.
No, it's not enough. And I think I'm right there with you. I feel the deficiency. First of all, today I don't even get to see you in this configuration.
Because I know.
We're trying to make sure that we can have the best sound quality possible, given the limitations of technology at home.
Yes, especially the limits of technology at my home. So, of course, our listeners don't know this yet because our show from last week has not been posted. But as you know, my technical difficulties meant that only half the show got recorded and my voice was sort of scrambled. And we are dealing with just everyone on, all my kids have to do all their schooling online. And Kevin is, of course, working online. And so there's just limited, internet access at our house.
I mean, when you were talking about internet access, I think Spectrum should be feeling pretty good right now. Like, their ratings must be so high. Like, Spectrum is probably, like, worth investing in.
Right. So if only we would have had a crystal ball, we would have invested in Spectrum and in Zoom and in a good, like, a company that makes great headphones with microphones. Right? We would have invested in all the things that people need right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be together today, even though we are not in person. And how, Esther, before we get started, how are you doing with the quarantine? I know that on our end, we're baking a lot. We're taking a lot of walks. Some days are... I'm pretty sure that we're all gaining weight because the amount of sugar and butter that we are consuming is quite astounding. But we're enjoying some of the time and also feeling like, oh, we miss being able to see people. I miss students a lot. So how are things going for you?
Maria, I just have to ask before I share how this quarantine has been for me. Did you end up using all the butter and all the flour and all the sugar you bought do you remember
when I did my panic shopping? Yes. You know, it's actually quite ironic because we burned through that butter and flour and sugar as if I had not bought anything. You have no idea how much butter my kids are using.
I think I am really hoping that after this quarantine, I can sample Oliver's cookies and Ada's cake. Has Ada baked a couple cakes or is it Oliver that baked cakes?
No, Ada is our cake baker and Oliver's really into cookies and he's done, but although he has done a cookie cake, which I found to be really good. I was super impressed with a cookie cake. He really likes cookies and Ada really loves to bake a cake because she can imagine what she wants it to look like and she spends a lot of time designing it in her head.
Wow. Wow, Maria. Well, that was all put to good use, all that butter and sugar.
That's right, it was.
So when we're all back on campus, just a heads up, you may want to connect with the Oliver Brown for some cookies and Ada Brown for some cake. They will be pros by the time the quarantine comes to an end.
That is right. That is right.
Maria, well, my quarantining, I think, has just been a blast. Like, I don't know what to say. You know, when I was talking with Dr. Sarah Baldwin the first time after we went remote, I remember saying something to the effect of, finally, the world is living like I do all the time. Like, finally, the world has caught on to my way of living. And maybe I should clarify what that means, right? Like, I am such a big fan of social distancing. Like, I'm such a big fan of washing your hands and being sure that you have not like touched your face and you're, you know, not hugging people. And I'm just so grateful. Like, but I have to confess, like, I think after 5 or some weeks, I think I'm ready to see real people, like not just people on Zoom, you know, like I want to
right.
see real people. So while it's given me a chance to watch the world enjoy how I usually live, although I remember saying something like, I've had to wait for like decades for my turn to come around. This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen in one's lifetime, you know, at all. And so
right.
This was quite the moment. But I think on a very not that my previous comments were not you know, real or serious, but on a serious note, I think I've really been concerned about just the well-being of humanity. Like, I am not sure what side effects were going to come about, because it's not just the illness, right? But the isolation, the lack mm-hmm. of sources, like all of those pieces. I'm just not sure what's going to turn out at the end of all of this.
Yeah, so many questions and so much uncertainty. My hope is that in some level, I think there will be negative effects, of course, but I'm hopeful that it will turn us more towards meaningful in-person relationships, that we will be less tied to our technology because we will have been confronted with its insufficiency in our lives.
Yeah.
And really, my prayer has been that God would redeem this time, you know, and I pray that carefully, because I know there are people suffering. There are people going through deep fear and loss. There are people in settings and contexts that they're facing much more uncertainty and vulnerability and fear than we are here, even though we are facing a fair share of that. There is the awareness that there are places where the depth of insecurity and fear and unknown and vulnerability is much deeper. But my prayer is that God will really redeem all these circumstances
mm-hmm.
and this time on a global level, on a national level, and in our community and in our homes and in our own lives and hearts. So at best, I hope that that's what comes out of it. But I'm sure most certainly there will be things that will come that we will be dealing with probably for years to come.
I think so. And, you know, I really appreciate that prayer, Maria. And I know that word has come up so many times when you and I have talked, you know, during
mm-hmm.
remote working conditions and COVID-19 conditions. Like, you have consistently expressed that redemptive part. And I am, you know, so hopeful with you that God will truly redeem, you know. And as I just kind of center in on that word, I feel like, wouldn't it be amazing, like, when we experience redemption of something, like the writing of that which, you know, has been lost? Like, I just can't imagine the liberation, the freedom, the joy that, you know,
mm-hmm.
to experience, I think. Will be such a gift. So I'm right there with you. And I think, you know, on my end, I have just been praying, and I've shared this with you in the times that we've had a chance to talk, that I have really been praying that this will not just be another pandemic that we try to survive or get through, that, you know, that we will somehow use this time to really get right, you know, get right with ourselves and get right with God, and that this will be a time of transformation, right? Like, another key word that we use at Asbury University, you know, transformation, becoming anew and becoming that new creation that Corinthians, you know, Paul sort of mm-hmm. talks about in Corinthians. So it is my hope that somehow we will be better human beings, you know,
mm-hmm.
reflective of God's image in us. That is my that is my hope and prayer. And so there's a lot to be looking forward to, and especially as we live, you know, on this side of having celebrated Easter, the words that have been percolating in my mind, that Easter is all about hope and healing. And, you know, it's the victory. It's the victory over those dark moments of human experience. I could go on, Maria. I could go on. But I know that we have a special guest. So please, please take it away, Maria.
I will. And I will just say amen to all that you've said. And I think we could go on forever talking about it, but then we would leave our poor student guest hanging on the Zoom meeting with no space to talk. So we will put ourselves aside and introduce our guest today. Kai Kai is with us. And Kai Kai, can you tell us where you're from, who you are, where we would find you at Asbury, and tell us what you would like us to know about you. And welcome.
Question, Maria, where we would find you at Asbury, Kai Kai?
Well, right. First, if we were at Asbury, where would we find you?
Well, first of all, hello. And well, now I am still on campus. Well, technically, I'm just across the street. I am currently stuck at the seminary. Because I couldn't go home. But yeah, I guess that's where you found me. I mean, you can find me. And then, yeah, I am from Bangkok, Thailand. I am currently a junior. And I'll be a senior next semester. And I'm studying media communication with an emphasis of TV and video production. There you go. Mm-hmm.
So Kai Kai, can you, well, first I like to ask students, what do you plan on doing with your degree, or what is your dream to use your media communications degree?
Well, one of my life passion would be the media stuff. I love television stuff. I love the live show, the camera, just one of my life passion. And I like using my creativity in there. And my goal with my degree would be finding some sort of work related to editing, cameraman, or a live television show, like part of the crew, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Kai Kai, I believe that if we were on campus, we would find you in more than just your dorm, right? So tell us what you do on Asbury's campus.
Oh, so first activities, I'm part of the tennis team. Yep, and I'm...
Shout out to all these tennis team members and to Jared Miller, right? Jared Miller.
He's a man.
That's right.
And, I am part of the tennis team. I am also part of the Asbury sport production crew. Oh, wait, a shirt. And I am also part of the SAC, the SAAC, the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. I am representing my tennis team in there. But yeah, wow. You would find me in two places. Would be, three places, the dorm. Well, I guess four. I'm just keep walking up. Maybe you find me at the CAF, the dorm, not the bistro. But I like the bistro. Like, probably most of the time it's a CAF. And then find me in the media building and the Luce Center. Yep, that might be where you can find me most of the time. There's four places.
Yeah. And, you know, you listing all of those places where we would find you makes me feel sad that we are not on campus being able to be in all of those spaces and see our students thrive in those spaces. Mm-hmm. But Kai Kai, can you tell us a little bit about growing up in Thailand? I assume that you lived in Thailand until you came to Asbury?
No, I actually lived in Thailand until I came to America ninth grade of high school.
Okay.
But yeah, but before that, I was there the whole time.
Okay. So tell us about your family and growing up in Thailand.
Wow. Growing up in Thailand, it is very different. Very different from here. The culture is very, very, very different from here. People, like, in America, people are more, well, in Thailand, people are more like in a box, but it's like, mm-hmm. we have like a, and it's more about, it's more mostly about respecting people. Like respect is really a big part of the culture. We, everything is about respect. We don't call people by like their name. Sometimes we call them by what they stand for. So like if instead of call my uncle to like his name, I would call him by, okay, you're my uncle. Hey, uncle. Mm-hmm. And same to my grandpa. I would be like, hey, grandpa. Not never call them by name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything is like, based on the respect thing, even finding job and things, it's just you find connection. That's how mm-hmm. things are working back there.
Yep. Yeah. And so what kind of did you grow up in the city of Bangkok or did you live somewhere else?
Yes, right in the city. Bangkok itself is just I don't think there's anything else but city. It's so much, so many buildings. It's very big and crowded. Yes, compared to Wilmore, Wilmore has nothing.
It was quite an adjustment, huh? Yes, so, what brought you to the United States in high school?
It's probably the changes. Looking for change in life because I was very different back then. Before, before many activities happened, I wasn't a very, I was a trouble kid, mm-hmm. but yeah, start from there and then just looking for changes. And then this idea of, okay, maybe looking for some different environment and, different places, different, completely different environment and maybe try from there, mm-hmm. maybe it'd be better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where did you go to high school? What part of the United States did you end up in?
I'm actually in Kentucky. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's a little town called, it's in Clay County. It's the little, very small remote city called Oneida. It's it's in the middle of nowhere. Phone service very reach my school. I have to use those phone thing that I have to like, well, it's on the wall. The phone is hanging on the wall.
The phone thing on the wall.
And then I have to dial about 30 numbers. Because first you have to put the code in. And then first you have to call the organization, put the code in, and put my family, my dad number in so I can call my dad. It's about...
Well, Kai, would you be surprised to know that that was normal for me, and I'm sure for Esther too. That's how we always used the phone when we were not at home.
Oh, yeah. It's a... And it's very, very remote. We're talking about that we don't have anything in a range of 30 minutes car drive. There's nothing around but tree and neighbors.
Yeah. Right. You know, Kai, I've actually been to Oneida, and I have been there frequently because my husband's grandmother lives in Oneida. Well, when she was alive, she lived in Oneida. And his mom grew up there, and his grandfather actually helped build that school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, I didn't realize that that's where you had gone to high school.
Yep.
Very interesting. It's a small world.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Kai. So who all is in your family? You have siblings?
Yes, I have one sibling. She's 8 years older than me. I have a sister, an older sister, and that's it.
Okay. So back in Thailand, you've got mom, dad, sister, grandparents.
Yep. That's kind of, they're staying with me. But yeah, that's kind of it. And a bunch of dogs and goldfish. They're part of my family, you know, they're like... They're my little buddies.
So are they all making it without you being there? Like the goldfish and the dogs?
Yeah, I miss everyone. Everything. Let's say I miss home.
Sure. Have you been back to Thailand since you moved to the United States?
Yes. I normally go back every Christmas and summer. But then my plan for this year has been totally jeopardized. I cannot go home. I don't even think I can go home like this whole summer at all due to my grandpa is actually sick. And the cause is very scary. We were not sure like is actually COVID or not, but I think everyone is like in at home. It's just not doing. It's not a good thing. Not doing well. Yep.
Yes, I'm sorry, Kai Kai, that you are dealing with that stress and fear from so far away, and that you can't go home.
Do you get to?
Go ahead, Esther.
Sorry, Maria. Are you able to call and talk to your grandpa, or are you able to connect with your family and, you know, get updates on how he's doing? Like, are you able to reach out that way?
I am able to call my dad and my mom, but not my grandpa. My grandpa is very sick. Now he's on a bed.
Okay. So does he live where mom and dad are, or does he live in a slightly different location?
Well, he's currently we move him to a slightly different location.
Okay.
But we still like have to take care of him. Yep.
Sure.
He's close by, about like 5 minutes away drive.
Oh, good. Okay.
According to the traffic. If the traffic is not goes crazy, I mean, it could turn into an hour or three. Sometimes traffic is crazy in Thailand, you know. But now probably take 5 minutes because of people. The road probably clear by now.
Yes.
We could even fly through. It's just so quick. It's just no roads. Probably be very beautiful now. But, yeah.
Okay.
So Kai Kai, how did you end up here at Asbury? And what has your experience been like here at Asbury?
This is connecting back to Onita. Well, the man, Jared Miller, he kind of picked me up from there. It's very funny because we have not arranged anything and then he found me there. Yeah, so
he found you there.
That's really found me there.
The way to describe it.
Yes, and I will share the story. It's quite incredible. I believe this is God. But first, it's just a normal day. It's just a normal day for me. And I'm sorry. There's a
somebody's alarm is going.
Alarm is going off. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
So I was, it's just a normal day at high school. I'm just going to class like normal. And then suddenly there's an announcement goes, today there's a representative from Asbury University come here and talk to the senior class. I was part of the senior class, but I'm just like, okay, another one to come talk. and then I got this, well, I have a question that I have to go ask my student counselor. And then I walked in there, and then there is this guy wearing a purple shirt. He have a bunch of suitcase with him. And then the student counselor, and she called my name and goes, "Kai Kai." And then suddenly this guy stand up and just start kind of looking at me and kind of just wondering something. I have no idea. And then he goes, "Kai Kai," and then he start introduce himself right away. Yeah, it just very I was like, wait, what, this stranger? but it's yeah. And then he introduced himself as then I saw his shirt, and then I actually said tennis coach. But yeah, and then he just started telling me that, oh, I heard your name from the state tournament. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep. Play tennis for Onita, and doing that, I was seated in the state for my last 3 years of high school. I was seated 5 or 3. Last year, I was seated 3 before he came and found me there. But yeah,
wow.
That's how I get to Asbury, just from there, and then we just start arranging things, come to visit, stay here for about 2 days. Not 2 nights and 3 days, and yeah, and I have quite an experience of visiting too. I have not tell anyone, but I probably will share it to you all. So I stay in Paul Leo room. And then, if you all remember, Paul Liu from Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then Paul, he bring me to Krispy Kreme, and we went dumpster diving for those donuts. That's like, that didn't like get like out on the line for sale, but it was fun. We don't actually do it because we're scared that like they're gonna catch us. But it's quite an experience. We ate a dozen of donuts between two of us. It was good. But yeah, that's kind of it. And my experience at Asbury has been very good. I like how, I got a lot of international friends and I could connect with them and see. I learn a lot from them. And even from the culture of Asbury itself, it's a lot different than I expected for college in America. Like, people here are more studious, I guess. And the environment is just very good. I love it. And I got to learn a lot from all the differences. That's like one of my favorite parts. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Kai, one of the benefits of, doing this from home is it gives you more of a chance to multitask. So Marina, while you're on the phone and Kai is here, on the Zoom through the video option as well, I have been texting Jared Miller.
Oh, no.
to thank Jared Miller for finding you. Like, I am so glad that he found you and brought you to Asbury, Kai. So actually, your stories kind of match up because, you said, like, it was random. And that's kind of what Jared said, that it was really random how you guys connected.
Mm-hmm. So, that's so interesting.
Anyhow, I just wanted to let our audience know that that's what I've been doing over here, busy while Murray and I are talking. I'm thanking Jared for finding you.
Well, I think every student that we interview, almost every student we interview, has an interesting story about getting to Asbury or a story that just reflects God's kindness in directing their lives.
Yeah.
And yours rings true to that as well, that, it is sort of random, but I think we could confidently say God has his hand in all of those things that are random.
Yep.
And we're so grateful that meant you ended up at Asbury with us.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. I am glad I'm here too.
Yeah. So Kai, before Esther talks more with you about faith and why these conversations on faith and diversity are so important, can you help our listeners just understand a little more the complexity of culture as you have adapted to two different cultures?
Oh.
So you mentioned that growing up in Thailand, respect is so important. It's a really foundational cultural characteristic and something that you are very aware of, as well as connection. And in the United States, it's not that we don't have respect and connection, but those would not probably be the words that someone would use to describe our culture. So can you talk a little bit about adjusting from a culture that highly values respect and connection to the United States, where individualism and freedom are more valued? Just talk to us about what that was like for you and what you have learned in that process.
Mm-hmm. So one of the main thing that I learned is to be open mind. That's like the first thing I learned just come to United States and see the differences, just like embrace it. Just like, instead of like, oh, I can't adapt to this, maybe try to, okay, let's see how people are doing, and just be open-minded and learn from there. And the other hard part, I have two more hard part that I have to adapt to is the food. Food is quite significant here. It's very different. I am still doubting my mind that like I like it or something. I have no clue. Do I actually like the food here? I mean, compared to home, it's just very, very different. I'm still the open mind and try a lot of things, and I like Reese's. And from there. And the one more thing that like I have to like adapt to it is the touching.
Mm.
It's very, very, in America, people touch each other a lot, like giving hugs, Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, those are quite a struggle for me, like in the beginning, but I guess I just be open mind to, and then just like, okay, just think about this is normal for them, and mm-hmm. and their intention is just to say hi, not anything else, you know. That's yep. And yeah, I've learned to be open mind and accept that. Okay, people are very different. I used to be very mm-hmm. like stereotype, I guess. I don't know. Just say, okay, these people are supposed to be like this. These mm-hmm. people do this. But not like a racist type of thing, but it's just like I have an idea of like, okay, I watch movies and okay, mm-hmm. people, I expect them to be something like this. But no, people are actually different. And yeah, just acknowledge from there that they're different. Mm-hmm. Not, and just be open mind about them and just take your time to decide, because yeah, things may not agree the first time, but in my head with them, but it might be, maybe they take different path. They might meet in thought sometime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I learned about the value of, right, the value of open-mindedness. And I think you have described really well what our stereotypes can do, that they can be helpful in helping us to understand a group in general, but they're not very helpful in our perceptions of individuals. And that we can make assumptions based on stereotypes that then lead us away from relationship or confused. And so keeping an open mind to people's experience and the richness of their life and their own cultural background really helps us to engage in relationship. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Kai, I am eager, knowing that you have grown up in Bangkok. So I'm imagining you've grown up in this very, I haven't been to Bangkok yet, so I'm imagining it's a very cosmopolitan New York type, you know, yes. location where you find people of, you know, lots of different cultures and backgrounds and food, mm-hmm. you know, all that. And then you leave that kind of context and you come to Oneida. Is that how you say it, Maria?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So you come to Oneida and you're like in the middle of nowhere. It sort of kind of reminds me of my own journey, but I'm curious, like what were the cultural, like how did being in Bangkok shape you, right? So the different cultures that may have been present there, how did that shape you? And then how did being in Oneida, like how did that shape or inform who you are becoming as an individual? So you've got, at least as far as I know at this point in your story, you've got two completely opposite
yes.
contexts that you've lived in, and you've lived successfully. Like you're still alive, you're doing well. You haven't been, you know, frightened by the mm-hmm. differences, and you're not like packing up your bag and telling mm-hmm. Maria, me, and Jared, like, I'm out of here, you guys. I can't handle this. So first of all, could you tell us how these different how did these differences shape who you are? And then how you've navigated, like what kind of attitudes did you have that helped you get through this?
Mm-hmm. So one of the first thing is that I personally have been traveling a lot, and I love traveling. It's just a family thing. I've been traveling to like more than 30 countries in the world just for vacation and like mm-hmm. to explore things. So I just apply those to just like, okay, you know, this is just looking, just analyze their culture and maybe pick some good things and you can apply those to you. That's like kind of like mm-hmm. what I'm kind of live on when I try to adapt to the culture. You're like, okay, look, okay, people in Bangkok is very rushed. Everything is like, you know, gotta be on time or else you miss it. It's just crowded. People are fighting for transportation, like the subway or things like that. And I still apply those to like now and then. But when I'm in Oneida, I've learned that, okay, people are more chill. People are more relaxed, more calm. Mm-hmm. They take their time processing things. And I learned that pretty well. And it just, I like that. I like that. And, but yeah, I guess just be open mind again and just be able, just remember like I always see myself as a tourist, even to, until now. Be a tourist. Just okay. See what outside world, outside of your comfort zone or things, if it's not comfortable. But yeah, and now like just in my like personal dictionary, the word normal doesn't exist anymore. I don't think I can define them anymore because of what shaped me, the culture that shaped me, just like, okay, I don't think that there's normal anymore in general. Yeah, just be open mind and look at the good things and bad things and just apply those and adapt, keep adapting from the culture.
Such good analogy, the tourist portion, right? Like the only challenge of that is oftentimes we just move from one place to another quickly. So in tourism we could miss out on the beauty. But I go ahead, Kai Kai.
So on that, I could see, I think this is a very like a personal thing that like, okay, I can look at the two ways. I could look at I can look at both good or bad things. But yeah, most of the time I just try to, I'm not saying that I'm ignoring the bad things, but I learned from it. But like the good thing is what you want to apply.
Yeah.
Bad thing is for learn and just try to like, okay, this culture doesn't like this, isn't like this. This doesn't suit well. Okay, just learn from it and try to prevent from happening. Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm just acknowledging, I really like the analogy you use, because a lot of times when we're not exposed or made aware of other parts of the world, like it's so difficult to even have an open mind because we don't even know it exists. So I really appreciate that about your story. The fact that you've been traveling from a young age has made you so much more open to having that posture, that attitude of an open mind. But I know that Murray and I have a couple other questions. So could you connect, Kai Kai, could you connect this concept of these different cultures to your faith, right? So how does your faith inform how you look at people from other cultures, other ethnic backgrounds? Yes. Is there any connection there?
Oh, yes. Definitely. I believe that God created us differently. He created the world, not just one part of the world. God did not exist only in America, but it's the whole world. So embrace the difference there. That's what the connect part. And yeah, we have our own mind, on soul, on body. You are your own self, creation of God. And yeah, I just believe that, okay, people are different. Everyone is different from one another, and just yeah, it just, there is this word that didn't exist from like in my vocab list or dictionary, just like the word ugly, the word normal, the word standard sometime didn't exist because of this, because of, according to the Bible, we are just different. It's just not that it's just not that, okay, one is wrong, one is right. No, it's just that we are different. We take a different path. We are, God created us differently. Then we will be different. We will act different and then do things differently. Yeah.
That's interesting, Kai Kai. Just thinking of the diversity within God's creation. And thinking about how diversity in language and in culture and in even the way that even skin color or different, some identifying characteristics can in some way reflect the nature of God, that if we are all made in the image of God, then this kind of diversity reflects his image. And that's a good reminder for us.
Yeah, I really want to highlight, you know, when I asked you that question, I just liked that you jumped up and said, of course, there is a connection between your faith and how that helps you to look at culture and other people, you know, because I resonate with that understanding of our faith, that we truly have the best lens available to us through our faith to look at the world and the people in it. So Kai Kai, it looks like you've got a lot more to share. But as you share, you know, Maria is going to continue to help us land this show. So she'll take it away after you share with us. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Let's say, I kind of am, if I see, I just kind of embrace all culture. How about that? I don't think there's a, there's no middle ground in general, but I try to make myself as a middle ground. I like to connect to people and like learn from other people. And because they are less, their testimony and my testimony, it will be different. And I'm quite sure that I always could get something off like people testimony and just like, oh, just some thought, put some thought in my head. And yeah. And I, I think one of the other thing that I want to say would be, that, for the world, like is full of evil and things. I agree with that because God said so. And, of course I face it myself and, but yeah, I mean, just what want to embrace that, like, okay, the evil, it may come into like a cultural form. If someone take a, if someone could see it like that, it's just a different, but, I believe that like, it is there, but that is still not like for you to judge. You are the one who stay with yourself, and if you take care of yourself, you'll stay with God. And yeah, so
that's such an important point, Kai Kai, because we are not fully aware of each other's cultures unless we really take the time to understand and learn. Yes. And you're actually reminding me of this concept of syncretism, right? Mm-hmm. So this concept where there are artifacts and there are different beliefs, you know, ascribed to it, right? So you take something that has a symbolic meaning in a particular way, and then all of a sudden you take that and you make it void of the original meaning and you plop on, you know, and a lot of times there was syncretism, you know, that has taken place across cultures, and it can be hard to discern, like what is genuinely of God and what may not be. So that's a pretty important point that you've highlighted.
Yeah, and I think Kai Kai, in bringing us to a conclusion of our conversation, when you said, you know, that you really try to have an open mind about approaching people from different cultures. I hear in your perspective, maybe a really interesting blending of your two cultures that you have lived in, right? So the respect and the connection that you, that were such strong values in Thailand, the way that you have sort of transposed those into American culture is to have respect for people, but also a real sense of openness. And then wanting to connect with people. You said you like to connect others, you like to connect people and hear stories. And so I think that's interesting that these values that were so important to you and your identity formation, your cultural formation, then have been sort of woven into this new culture that you're living in ways that can help us to see how we can do the same, right? So we can also approach people with respect, with a sense of openness, with recognizing that we are made in the image of God. And so I think that that is helpful, hopefully, for our listeners today as well. And Kai Kai, it's been such a good time talking to you. I've appreciated you sharing with us and hearing more about your story. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day with your online courses and all that you have to do. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, it has indeed been good. And Kai Kai, I know that we all need to get off here in a couple seconds, but could you tell us why this conversation about race and culture and ethnicity, why should we continue this at Asbury, like specifically in our community? Could you tell us your parting thoughts on this?
Yes, I am. For that question, for sure, I think we should continue this learning the differences, because as I said, I felt like people are just very different from one another, and there's a lot more to explore, a lot more to learn from one another, and yeah. And yeah, like Maria said, connection, and that's how, like, you know, how you connect to people is, you know, them more, you know, I think it's just basic understand, just to understand people more, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think that's a good, yeah, because to understand people, you need to like know them, learn the difference, and then you can go from there. So I think it's important to continue the show, because you can learn from another different culture, and maybe you've picked up some good things and can apply it to yourself. And yep, it's kind of, yeah, what I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Kai Kai, for those good closing remarks and good reminders for us.
Yes.
Esther, before we sign off, do you have anything to add?
No, Maria, I was just thinking, I know that we all have other meetings shortly after this show, but I have just been thinking in my heart of Kai Kai's grandpa, and I think I hope, Kai Kai, that you could share this recording with your family, and we just want your family to know. I know that Maria and I say this together, and I'm sure Maria will offer her words, but we love you and we love your family, and we are praying for their protection and their well-being. And we know how difficult it is to be so far away. It's a hard moment, but I pray for comfort and I pray for the strength to walk through this, Kai Kai.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And one last question for me. Where do I find the show? Where can I find
it? Well, we will send it to you.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And then any of our listeners can find all of our shows on the Intercultural Affairs page on the Asbury website. Then there is a tab for the Embrace Radio Hour, and all of our shows that we have recorded are posted there, so anyone can listen to all of our shows.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, so a good shout out to Kai Kai's family back at home. And please know that we are thinking about you and praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Priya, are we back on air next week again?
Well, it kind of depends on our response from students. So as we've dispersed, we have lost track of our schedule a little bit, as students have had shifting schedules with being online. So I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that if we do not have a student to interview, that you and I, Esther, could at least do a closing show to close us off for the semester.
Yeah, that sounds great, because next week will be the last week of classes, and then on to finals, and then we're into summer.
Yes, that's right. Hard to believe. So hard to believe. Yep. Well, Asbury community, thank you so much for joining us. Kai Kai, thank you for sharing with us.
Anytime.
To echo again what Esther has said, we pray for your family, for the health and recovery of your grandfather, and for all of our students who are just looking at uncertainty and the unknown. We trust that God is redeeming this time for you, that you are seeing him work, that you sense him near. So join us next week for either an interview or some kind of sign-off. And I would also give a shout-out to the Now You See Me series, our second installation by Eliza Tan and Adam Mawadri. That is online. You can find it on Asbury's webpage with a link that will direct you to the website. It's a beautiful website with amazing pictures of our students and their stories. And I would encourage everyone to read through all 16 stories. I think you'll be encouraged and challenged, and you will find a greater depth to our students than maybe what you just see when you're walking around campus. So I encourage everyone to take a look at that as well.
Thank you, Asbury, for joining us. Have a great rest of your week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.